Good morning. Welcome as we come to worship today. A wee bit different this morning with weather from what it has been, but we still come with one voice and one heart, gathered with one purpose, to worship the God who is alive and well today. So as we gather, we hear Psalm 20 this morning. It says, "May the Lord answer you when you're in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept all your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. We will shout for joy when you are victorious. We will lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests." And so as we gather with one heart, one voice today, hear God's word read and proclaimed, to lay our hearts bare before him in prayer and intercession, to gather with one voice in unity and fellowship and purpose. Let's pray together. Lord, help us as we gather from very distinct and different situations, places, and homes this morning. We thank you that you are present with us. And on this Trinity Sunday, as you remember that you are three in one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the uniqueness of our God. And whilst we cannot fathom that mystery, at the same time we receive and we accept it by faith that you are who you say you are, the great I Am. So may our hearts worship you. As we set time aside to be with you today, may we leave this place refreshed, renewed, changed and challenged by what you will bring to us. In your precious name, amen. Amen.
This morning's readings are from the Gospel according to St. Mark. There are two readings. The first is "Lord of the Sabbath" is the title. Mark chapter 2. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some ears of corn. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat, and he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.'" And the second story from chapter 3. "Another time he went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal, him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, 'Stand up in front of everyone.' Then Jesus asked them, 'Which is lawful on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill?' But they remained silent. He looked round at them in anger and, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus."
Thank you, Derek. And so we continue in our series, God's Top Ten. Looking at the Ten Commandments, obviously, as we remember, we've started at number 10 and we're working our way down to number 1. We've looked at and thought about, are these rules to live by? Are they boundaries that set us free? So are they things that can constrain us, or are they things that give us the freedom to live our lives to the full? We look at number 10, where coveting is an idol that replaces God. It consumes our thoughts, our very wills. We thought about not bearing false witness. about the outright or the half or the insinuation or the excuse, and encouraged to do the think test before we speak or do anything. Encouraged not to steal, to have a reflection, a repentance, restitution, and realignment. Then we looked at do not commit adultery, and how marriages are different from friendships and other relationships, and how we're to keep them pure. Thou shalt not kill. We need to hold to the sanctity of life and hold to the truth of life itself. Last week, we looked at honour your mother and your father. We looked at how to be good parents and how to honour our parents, and how the church in this culture is an extended family, and how we can model that to those around us. And today, we're thinking about remember the Sabbath, to keep it holy. 6 days shall they labour and do all thy work. Let's just pray as we begin. Father God, we want to thank you that you are present with us. I want to thank you today that you are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that in this moment as we look at and think about what it means to take rest and to remember the day that is set aside for you, we pray that your Spirit would guide us and lead us, and that your word, not my words, would speak into the depths of our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. In many ways, there's been much debate over the exact meaning of this particular commandment. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. What exactly does that mean? And in that conversation, often it's what is permissible. What can I do or what can I not do to ensure that I still remember to keep the Sabbath holy? Sometimes in those conversations, we're almost trying to push ourselves to the boundary but not step over it, whenever actually God encourages us to stay well within the boundary, first of all. But this commandment, remember the Sabbath, is endorsing something, a practice that existed from the dawn of time. In Genesis, Genesis chapter 2. Genesis in the Old Testament, isn't it? Genesis chapter 2. It says, thus the heavens and the earth was completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work that he'd been doing. And so on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So from the dawn of time, this principle of taking time to rest has been enshrined in the very creation narrative itself. It's interesting, I suppose, in many ways, that one of the major shifts whenever people move from the tradition of Judaism into Christianity was that the Sabbath day moved from Saturday to Sunday. The Jews still hold the Sabbath as the Saturday, but Christians hold Sabbath as the Sunday. And the day that Jesus rose again, the day that everything changed, the day that we reflect and remember all that God has done for us, is Sunday. We'll come to that a little bit later on today. But the Hebrew word Sabbath means to rest, literally to cease from work. To rest, to cease from work. And the complexity, and we have to dig into this a wee tiny bit today, the complexity of the Jewish laws meant that by the time that Jesus walked the earth, keeping the Sabbath was more like an obstacle course than it was a joy. There were over 1,500 different rules guiding what you could or couldn't do on the Sabbath day. That's a complex maze and obstacle course of can I not? Is this one? Is that one? How do I retain all of those? And so often whenever you see Jesus healing on the Sabbath, the Pharisees, the Sadducees come and say, can you do that on the Sabbath? Because the laws were so complex and so many that it had taken away from the very simplicity of the principle that God had enshrined in the creation narrative of resting. and focusing on Him. Keeping it, keeping the Sabbath, was supposed to show, in the time of Jesus, was supposed to show the depth of your faith. And actually, certainly I know whenever I was growing up in Northern Ireland, at that stage, the culture of this province would very much have been, depending on what you did on the Sabbath, it showed the depth of your faith or your trust in God. People were almost marked by what they did or they didn't do on a Sunday. Certainly growing up in our house, there was no TV on a Sunday. Band wasn't allowed to watch it. There was other principles and practices that was enshrined within our household that encouraged us to focus on God on the Sunday and set everything else to the side. But this concept, this idea that by the time Jesus walked the earth, there were over 1,500 different rules guiding the Sabbath, it's almost as if in this particular passage, you hear Jesus challenging those rules, those obstacles that were put in place by humans, by man, in many ways. And he challenged them. Listen to chapter 3, verse 1. Another time, whenever he went to the synagogue, a man with a shriveled hand was there. And some of them were looking to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely. They were looking for moments where Jesus might trip up, or where they could trip Jesus up. And so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. And Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." And Jesus asked him, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill it?" But people remained silent. Jesus brought a challenge into the myriad of the complexity of keeping all of those individual rules. Some of them enshrined in the Mosaic Law, but others simply placed there by the Pharisees and the Sadducees to try to make them look better. We are no longer under the law. We live in a moment of grace. Because of what Jesus has done on a cross, he has fulfilled the law on our behalf. But yet the principles, the keystones of what was laid out for the Mosaic Law still remain for us today. So these commandments remain as something that we keep because they are boundaries to live by. But the principle of rest remains very key to who we are and how we function as individuals. You can't keep going 24/7. Maybe you can. We all know that there are times and seasons whenever we need to sit down and rest. And there'll be seasons in our lives where we'll need to rest more than we've had to do in the past. And so rest is important for us as humans and as individuals. Otherwise, we burn out. Chapter 2 and verse 27 says this, "Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" Sabbath was made and created for us, not us for the Sabbath. Rest is a part of our DNA. We cannot function appropriately or properly without moments of rest. It just doesn't work. You can only go for so long before eventually you collapse. So this commandment, found in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, and we'll read the whole of it now. Often we just shorten it to remember the Sabbath, but here's what it says. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son nor daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor the animals, nor the alien within your gate. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord has blessed the Sabbath, and he's made it holy." Sabbath was created for us, because God knew in the midst of the creation narrative that we needed it. Psalms tell us that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, you are knit together in your mother's womb. Before one of your days came to be, he has ordained each of them. He knew what makes us, how we are made up, and he knew that rest was important. I think one of the key words in this particular commandment is the word remember. We don't find it in any of the other commandments. The other six that we've already looked at are more about thou shalt not, honor. But this one is about remember. Why? What's that about? It's that practice of taking rest and in our rest recalling God's faithfulness. That's an integral part, an idea and principle of what it means to have Sabbath rest, to recall God's faithfulness, to remember what God has done for you. That's why the Church Universal, the Christian Church Universal, gathers on a Sunday, the day of rest, to remember what God has done for us as we sing the songs, as we hear his word read and proclaimed, as we gather together to share the stories of God's faithfulness in our lives. We remember what he has done for us. That's a key principle of what it means to rest. That whenever we stop, we thank God for the ability and the opportunity to do so. The Sabbath was created for man, not man for the Sabbath. And that shifts the focus to what was intended by God. We are refreshed by Sabbath rest. In other words, it's not just an ordinary day where we run about like any other day. And increasingly we know in our culture that the busyness of life means that we can often just keep going. Do you remember back to the days of, do you ever think we remember, do you remember back to the days whenever lockdown was here and COVID? Sometimes it seems like a distant memory and other times it seems very close. Do you remember those times whenever we remained at home and where we saw a different way of life and where we, many of us would have said, I'm not going back to the busyness. See the running here, there and everywhere. The rushing from this and the rushing to that. No, this is a better quality, actually, to slow down and to stop. How's that going? Because in many ways, as the years have passed, we've just picked up the mantle of busyness yet again. And for some of us in different seasons of life, that may not be as true as for others. But to rest, take a day a week where we pause, we slow down, we remember, is vital to your health and is vital to your spiritual health. It's a day whenever we can receive, not just give out. Remember to keep Sabbath holy. Holy. That means set apart. Holy means set apart, ring-fenced, made secure, given purpose. A day whenever we remind ourselves what it means to be God's holy people. That we are set apart for his pleasure. That we are set apart for his service. That we are set apart by him, by grace and by love and by forgiveness. And sometimes in slowing down, in stopping, in creating the Sabbath rest within our lives, we not only subtly, but we cry from within that we trust God. That he has this, that it's not all up to me to do absolutely everything, that it is okay if I stop and I slow down. I trust that God's hand is still upon me and upon my ministry and upon everything else that is going on in my life. And the same applies to you. We can trust God that he still has this. Sometimes that's the accusation that's leveled at a workaholic, that they will not trust the other people around them to do the work that is needed to be done. They need to do it themselves. It has to be them who does it. Otherwise, it's not done correctly. The same with our lives. We need to step back and rest and allow God to be God and trust that He still has this. We need to let go and let God be God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Keeping the Sabbath can be a challenge because the busyness of life will push and eat into us. And keeping the Sabbath, that idea of stopping, resting, trusting God, can be a challenge because it will remind you that you're not actually in control. Now, for some of us, that will be, you mean I'm not in control? Of course I'm in control. I'm always in control. I control everything. I have to control everything. It has to be. But we need to trust that God has this. It lifts the focus from the temporal, from the things around us, to the eternal. And it says, it is more than just what is happening in this moment. It's about inviting heaven to touch earth. Shows us that God is in control, that He has it. Keeping the Sabbath is not a negative thing. In fact, truly keeping it will mean that our lives will have a proper perspective. That we will have productive rest. The proper perspective comes because we can see that the bigger picture, whenever we lift our eyes from the tiny, minute details of what is happening around us, whenever we come together to remember that we are in this together, whenever we come together to remember what God has done for us, whenever we come together to remember and recall His faithfulness to us, it shifts our perspective. I think we neglected it. We neglected our lives will become places of conflict, of chaos, moments of chaos. Everything gets jumbled up. There's no space for anything left. We have not carved out a moment where we can just stop. And in the midst of all of this, verse 27, Jesus' words, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man, is Lord even of the Sabbath, that God is Lord of the Sabbath. I wonder, how are you getting on with resting? With stopping? We need that on a daily basis. We need it on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis. That's why, at the end of the day, we call it holidays, with annual leave. What do you need to do this week that will ensure that you rest? That you remember? And that you allow the perspective to be on Him? Let's pray together. Father God, help us to see You more clearly today. As we consider what it means to rest, to trust You even more than we already do, give us the strength to do that. Into the moments where busyness and the devil's enticement and temptations to be busy all the time, give us the strength to say no. And in those moments where we step back, give us the patience and the tenacity to take time to remember You, to dwell in Your presence, to read Your word and to lay our hearts bare before You and to receive from You. that in our rest we would be refreshed and renewed for what is yet to come. That in our rest our perspectives would be made clear and that clarity could come. That in our rest we can see the bigger picture of you at work. In your precious name we pray. Amen. We'll be close hearing some words from the book of Romans today. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, that in believing, so that you may by the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.